The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we offer prayers of thanksgiving for every person here today to hear your word, and we remember in prayer those who are unable to be with us and ask that you send your Holy Spirit to be their comforter. We pray this in your blessed name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Our heads get filled with so much stuff in any given week, with the responsibilities we all have and the things we're trying to get to and the things we forgot to get to last week. And so many things can then throw our lives out of, just kind of out of sorts, and we feel like we're off and we're not getting anything done. And I was going to open today with, and this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to open with something from a guy named Pascal, and I don't know if any of you remember in your undergraduate philosophy classes. I'm going to look away from my wife when I say undergraduate philosophy, because I was dating her at the time, and I remember the panic attacks she used to have in undergraduate philosophy class, so I don't want to flip her out. But I came across Pascal again in graduate school in statistics, believe it or not, where, you know, we're learning about research methodology for science and such, and it's because he was not just a philosopher, but he was a mathematician. And he applied mathematic principles and properties to philosophy and vice versa, philosophical principles and properties to mathematics. And one of the things he's best known, and this may ring a bell for some of you when I say this, one of the things he's best known for is something he wrote about that's been sort of nicknamed Pascal's Wager. Does that ring a bell with anybody? What it does is he takes a philosophical approach to the question of, is there a God? And should you believe there's a God? And he boils it down to this. He says, by the way, he was writing, I believe, in like the 17th century? No, the 7th century. It was early on, 7th century. So, 600 plus years after Christ walked the earth, he's writing down these things. And basically, what he says is, you can apply probability to the question of God and to the existence of God. And if you think of a coin, if you flip it, it's going to come up one of two ways, right? It's heads or it's tails. And if you did it enough, probability is going to tell us what? Heads is going to come up about 50%. Tails is going to come up about, right. And so what he said was, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here and sort of simplifying it, but heads would be God does exist. Tails would be God doesn't exist. But then he went a step further and he says, but probability is probably not where we want to put our faith on the existence of a supreme being. Because the consequences of that probability are so much more important to our lives, potentially. It's a neat little philosophical way of understanding things. And again, you hear it pop up in philosophical classes and statistical and mathematical classes. You hear it pop up in theology classes and religion classes. But it breaks down. And it breaks down, so immensely when you hear a scripture like we hear today from Jesus, when he talks about the path, the narrow path and the wide path. We heard that from Luke. I'm going to turn back in my Bible just a few pages and go back to Matthew's gospel account, give you a little different version of that. Here's what Jesus says, the way Matthew records it. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. So Jesus gives us a picture of something very different than just mere 50% probability. If we choose God, it all turns out well. If we choose in this life not to choose God, what are we risking? Well, just eternity. But we may, if we're right, we may have a little better life. We had a little more fun. Maybe we got to do some things that the righteous person wouldn't want to do. But again, Jesus, pardon the pun, he narrows it down on that probability. It's no longer 50-50. Jesus tells us in the gospel accounts, he says these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that wide path that many may choose, what does that look like? Well, maybe I believe in God, but I don't know. I mean, I guess he could manifest himself any way he wants to. I mean, after all, he's God, so maybe there's God in the Buddha. Maybe there's God to be found in Islam. Maybe there's God to be found in practicing Wiccan or witchcraft. So all roads lead to God. And I think Jesus dispels that. That would be the wide road. He implores us in the gospel to take the narrow road, to take the road of the way, to take the road of the life, to take the road of truth. Because God has chosen to reveal himself through Jesus Christ. That's the story of our redemption history, that God came down from heaven, came to earth in the form of a human. That man from Nazareth was named Jesus. He was the Messiah. He fulfilled all the prophecy that we read about in the Old Testament. He perfectly lived out the law, something humans were totally and still remain totally incapable of doing, so that we could have a place on that narrow path. Remember how that gospel account opened up today? Somebody asked, will only a few enter into heaven? Will only a few be saved? I'll flip that question around a little bit. Does that mean a whole bunch of people aren't? And Jesus doesn't answer it quantitatively, right? He doesn't say 60% versus 40% of this many and this many. But he gives an image. The wide road, it leads to destruction. The narrow road leads to life. What he calls in John's gospel account, life more abundant. So we have a choice, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's more than Pascal's probability of 50% heads, 50% tails. We have a choice. We have received the word of God. Are we going to believe that word of God? Are we going to allow that word of God to work in our lives, to change our lives, to make sure that we are on that narrow path that continues to lead us to that day of glory when our time on this earth is complete and our work here is done and we enter into the spiritual realm, which, praise God, will hopefully be in eternity with God, the Father in heaven. through Jesus Christ, his Son. And that's my prayer for each and every one of us here today, that we choose that narrow path. And even if that path is crowded, we wait in line and we know that this is where God has called us to be. And maybe while we're waiting in line, we share that good news with somebody else that's over here in this other line. And we invite them over. Come on over. This is the road that leads to life eternal. I pray you receive it. You do so in the blessed name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you do, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's rise together this morning. Let us profess our faith in the triune God as it's been handed to us by the ancient Nicene Creed. Would you join me in prayer?